You have a scripture in your bulletin for this message. This is actually a third. I talked about sheep when I went down to Australia and some of the things that they do two weeks ago. Last week I talked about the shepherds of the flock. Today I want to talk about what Jesus said as he used this parable. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would be with us today, that you would speak to us concerning our relationship with you as the image of sheep. And I ask that you would bless this message and give it some life besides what I say. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the U.S. government gives each of us a number. You all have one, right? In fact, they use that number in so many different ways. I got a call from a bank and says, we don't know which, we've got you listed twice under two different numbers. And I said, well, what are they? And they told me, but they knew who I was without the number because they had my telephone number, obviously. But you have a number, I have a number, and to all... Even though the U.S. government's sakes, we're all people, you know what? We're nothing but a number. In fact, it's true of most every business around these days. But it's good to know that in this digital age, we're not just digits to God. He knows each of us individually. And in the Gospel of Luke, he gives us stories that assure us of his love. Luke has several parables of the lost. There's one about the lost sheep, which we're going to look at today. There's one about a lost coin. And there's one about a lost son, a prodigal son. And all three stories have the same thing in them, that God loves sinners like you and me. The theme of the parable of the lost sheep is not the penance of the lost, but it's really about the pursuit of the lover, the shepherd. In religion, it is so convenient and easy just to get lost and stay lost. People do it all the time. We really need this parable. It's hard, and it's not hard to understand at all. I would like for you to read it with me, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I want you to kind of think about this parable. Let me kind of walk through it with you just a bit. It's late evening and there's a shepherd. He just comes home with his flock of 100 sheep and he is counting them over the fold gate as they're coming in, 10, 20, 30, 40, 53, 50. 57, 61, he keeps going, 90, 97, 98, 99. Wait a minute. I probably made a mistake. I got to count them all again. So he goes on and he makes the recount, but he still comes up with the same number, 99. One is missing. His next thought might have been, well, maybe that ornery critter will find his way home by himself. He'll come straggling in before long. Or maybe he's thinking, you know, I'm just tired. Who cares? I mean, I still have 99 sheep here. It's been a long, hard day. And besides, this silly, stupid creature had only himself to blame. If that wild animal's getting him, well, he knows he ought to stay with the flock. If he wanders off alone, whatever happens to him, well, he's got it coming. I'm going to go eat supper, and I'm going to bed. Now, that would be true, maybe, but not the shepherd in this parable. He gets his dogs. He starts out across all the fields and bridges and moors and the gullies, listening all the time for the sound of a bleating sheep. And he looks and he walks and calls. And suddenly the search ends. He hears this bleating out there. And he looks and it's all hung up in the thorns and the brambles of the place. And it's got cuts on it and it's torn and bleeding. And he's covered with mud and filth and other things, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. Unable to get himself loose. Shepherd Heftsit pulls him loose, puts him on his shoulders, and takes him back. That's the story. That's the parable of the lost sheep. I want you to notice in this story, though, that the word sin is never mentioned. And that's because, well, is it because we're not so bad after all? No, that's not the reason. It's because lost is the same thing in many ways. It's hard to own up to our lostness sometimes because we don't want to admit it because God forbid that I should be lost. We're like kind of like Daniel Boone, who was out on the in the wilderness. He's trying to find his way. He comes across this guy and says, "Are you lost?" And Daniel Boone says, no, but I'm mighty bewildered. Especially for the last 3 days. Our failure to admit our own lost condition is kind of like the Indian chief who was trying to cover up his confusion, lack of direction. He said, "Indian not lost, wigwam lost." But the scripture here is about us owning up to our own nature. Because the sheep is us. And a lot of times we can be very lost. You may not be lost physically, but you can be very, very lost. Sometimes we lose something very important to us, like ourselves. And it is something that you have to kind of confess to. You know, human nature by nature is lost. And we are away from God's presence. We, as it says, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Now, sheep are directionless animals. They have no clear direction or destination. Sheep cannot find their way alone. If you put a sheep a short way from home, it'll wander around aimlessly. It is said the sheep are very short-sighted. They can't see very well. And they can only see about 8 feet, and they simply eat themselves out of the flock if they're not careful, and they can end up a long distance away and lost. It's the nature of the beast. Other animals seem to have a built-in compass. You know, cows will come home. My grandparents had a farm, and I had cows, and those cows would come home in the evening. They didn't have to do anything. They just show up around the place. But not sheep. Salmon, they know the river. They go back to the river they were born in, and they come up and they go there. Birds fly from north to south, and they'll return to wherever they're supposed to be. Have you ever lost a dog or a cat? Well, they have a tendency to find a way. My brother lives on a farm area, and he lives out in the country, and they have problems with raccoons. So they have traps, and they catch these raccoons, and he has taken them as far as 25 to 30 miles away and turned them loose. And you know what? That same raccoon will be back messing around. But not sheep. Sheep will end up going in circles. You know, and there's a reason why Jesus talks about us as sheep and why the Bible calls us, because lost people are very much like lost sheep. You know, we've lost ourselves so many times over the years. You don't have to be lost physically, but because of the pace of life, we can get lost in the race for prestige or power or in the frantic rush for money and all that goes with that, we get out of control. We just lose ourselves. If some people go after leisures in life and pleasures, then they get lost because they don't have any meaning anymore. And you have to face the fact that the direction is gone from our lives. We get off course. We really do. We can be desolated, desolate and lost in so many ways. Sheep are also defenseless. You know, sheep are not equipped for fight or flight. Their jaws are weak. They can't bite very hard. They can't run very fast or very far. And their natural means of defense is almost nil. Other animals can put up quite a battle. Dogs can bite, I know. Cats can scratch. If you've had one, I know that too. Turtles hide in their shells, you know. Well, we won't even think about alligators. They know what they're doing. Porcupines, well, buddy, rabbits can run. And skunks. This mother skunk had all her litter with her, and these dogs surrounded her around these bushes. So she got back there, children, come here, children, come here. Circle up and let us spray. But a sheep, they're helpless pretty much in terms of any predator. You know that? We talk about salvation a lot in terms of church, but I tell you what, if a person does not know who Jesus is in their life, they are defenseless in this life. I mean, our sins and our weaknesses will get us down. And Satan is out there and he is too much after you, and you can't stop your sinning, you can't save yourself. You can't find your way, and you need a Savior who is a shepherd. Now, when Jesus tells this parable, he's talking about himself. He called himself by the title often, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the Old Testament well knows that, and we talked about it the last couple weeks. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God we're not a pig farmer. One time this guy had a hay wagon turned over along a dusty road, and the young driver was really upset, but this old kind-hearted farmer comes along and he says, hey, we'll get this thing out. Forget your troubles for a moment. We'll straighten it up. Come on home for supper. And the young man didn't want to go because he knew his father would be concerned, but farmer said, don't worry about it, come on. It'll be all right. We'll take care of it later. So the young man went to him and he had dinner with the farmer and everything. But he kept saying, but I don't think my father will like that we're putting it off. I'm sure he's very concerned. The farmer said, don't worry about it. By the way, where is your father anyway? He says, well, he's under the hay. Now, Jesus is a little bit more concerned about us than that young man was for his father. You know, no matter how obstinate, shall I say, the sheep can get, no matter what, you can replace one sheep with another, no matter that, no matter the fact that the sheep might also survive outside in the field during the night, this shepherd goes looking for him in this parable. You know, Jesus did not have to leave heaven for earth. God did not have to become as one of us. He did not have to endure the insults and the mistreatment of those he came to save. Jesus was not forced to die on a cross for the lost world, for you and me. His death is voluntary. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself. Why trade the warmth of heaven, his father's house, to walk on this world? Why be hated and maligned by people that claim to be God's people Why be poor when you can be rich? Why be a pauper when you're already a king? It's because the Good Shepherd is the God of the lost. God is love, and it is love that is the relationship, and it is love that goes after that which is lost. And that's why Jesus came. The shepherd in this parable was persistent. The story says he searched for the lost sheep until he found it. Jesus never gives up on us. Others may think we're unworthy. Others may think we're a hopeless case. Some may think we're beyond redemption's point, but Jesus does not give up. He is the one who pursues. He's the one who patiently and persistently perseveres until we are found. The shepherd still seeks for you in many places and many ways. You see, we can get lost in this life even if we're not lost eternally. You know, I know the things that are part of the search for us are things that occur in our past. And that may be part of the search that he has. The church, its gospel, is Jesus beating the bushes for you. Even this message that I'm giving today may, in fact, be an effort to find you. It may be just the words that you might need to hear in a state of lostness that you might be in. The shepherd was kind. When he found the sheep, he didn't call it an ugly name. He didn't kick it. He didn't beat it with his staff. He didn't call it a no-account sheep. He just put his arms around it, pulled it loose, and got it home like a shepherd. You know, God is not the FBI or the NSA or the CIA, but we are on his most wanted list. Jesus was kind to the thief on the cross. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was kind to the sinful woman at the well in Samaria who had been married 5 times. And he says, "I've got water for you that you don't have to draw out of a well. It's water that is living." He was kind to the woman who was guilty of adultery. He says, "Has anybody condemned you?" He said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." You know, God has no pleasure in the death of those who are sinners, but that the sinners turn from their ways and turn towards him. You know, if you read the gospel, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." There is no judgment in that. If you read 2 verses later, the judgment is the judgment that we make because we choose not to have him in our life. But there is no judgment in that scripture. The judgment is in us. You know, we all face a judgment. But this is the day of the shepherd's grace today. You know, you can't trust everybody who talks to you or calls to you or seeks after you. Not all are good shepherds. You can't trust all the voices. This preacher went to this house and he knocked on the door and nobody answered. He kept knocking. Finally, "Come in, come in." So he tries the door and the door opens. He goes walking down the hallway into the kitchen and keeps hearing, "Come in, come in." He gets into the kitchen and he greets a great big German shepherd dog that kind of pins him up against the wall. And he said, looks around the room, and there's a parrot in a cage, and it says, "Come in, come in." He says, "You stupid bird, is that all you know? Sick him, sick him." Can't trust every bird you hear. Each of us is important to God. If there's any message that we need to hear, that's the one. He is not satisfied with the 99 sheep safe. He loves us too much. And actually, that's the way we are called to be as a church. The fold of God could never... We are always involved in looking for lost sheep if we are trying to follow Him. You can't say, well, I'm better off without him or her. They're too old or they're too young or, you know, it's too obstinate. That person's just too obstinate. We're better off without him. Or they don't add any prestige to the congregation. You know, one of the things that I've always done in terms of ministry is I kind of run a MASH unit. And I've kind of set the Statue of Liberty out in front of the church and say, send me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Because in reality, we are called to get those who are lost, to seek those who are wounded and hurt in life. And our job is to heal them up as best they can so we can get them up off their cots and maybe they can help out a little bit with other people. The church should know that every person is worth dying for. Some of the work that we do around here is for that very purpose. The reason that we have outreach ministries in prisons, and we've got a couple of people in Jamaica right now, is for that very purpose. God loves sinners. He was accused of eating with publicans and sinners. I am so glad he did. The shepherd carried back the sheep, rejoicing. He called for his neighbors to come and celebrate with him. Now, this is a picture of a God who is smiling because of what he can do. You know, angels laugh and sing. Shepherds and angels were meant to be there for each other in the Gospels. The angels sang for the shepherds up in the fields. If you want to make angels sing, then bring a lost sinner home to God. A church member repents and returns. Angels sing. A lost soul who has never known Jesus finds his way to the cross and salvation. Angels sing. A baby is baptized. Parents glow, the church rejoices, and angels sing. Isn't it great that we have such a good shepherd? Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the grace that you do show to us, that you come looking for us when we are lost. We ask that you would help us to be your under-shepherds in so many ways for those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.